Welcome to the Multiply Your Success podcast, where each week we help growth-minded entrepreneurs and franchise leaders take the next step in their expansion journey. I'm your host, Tom Dufour, CEO of Big Sky Franchise Team. And as we open today with a new year upon us, for many companies and many employment seekers, hiring is on your mind. And so I'm wondering, what do you do for your hiring and onboarding process? And what does that look like for you? And do you have a recruiting strategy and an onboarding schedule? And our guest today is Brian Miller, who's the president of one of the largest recruiting franchises in the United States with approximately 200 franchisees. Brian shares with us some of his tips and best practices for finding, hiring, and retaining employees. You're going to love this episode. Now, a little bit about Brian's background. He joined Patrice & Associates in May of 2014 as an equity partner, bringing expertise in staffing, recruiting, and franchising. Brian's extensive experience in franchise operations, development, and strategic planning makes him a professional tour de force in the franchising industry. He has 25 years in franchising and 16 years at a leading full-service staffing and recruiting industry franchisor previously. You're going to love this interview, and I especially love this interview because I had the great opportunity to have worked with the founder of Patrice & Associates about 15 years ago as she was launching into the franchise business. So it's amazing to see this come full circle in the franchise world. So you're going to love my interview with Brian, and let's go ahead and jump right into it.
It's an honor to be here on the Multiply Your Success podcast, Tom. And my name is Brian Miller. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of Patrice & Associates. We're the largest management and hospitality recruiting firm in North America with over 180 locations in the U.S. and Canada.
One of the things that I just have to ask about, because it's on the minds of so many of our clients and the feedback that I get from business leaders and entrepreneurs around the country, is something along the lines of, I just can't find good people, or I can't get people to show up to work, or I hire people and they don't want to work. And this is across all levels. It's not just entry-level positions. This is management, general managers, assistant managers, and the like. And so I'm sure you're running into this as well. And so I'd love to hear how you respond to that, or what you say back to maybe your clients when they speak of that.
I mean, it's a question that I get every day. I mean, and despite, you know, all the cool commercials that we see on TV from the job boards that all you have to do is run an ad and you're going to find that person that is the needle in the haystack, in the real world, it just doesn't work like that. Our labor market has changed fundamentally, and there are some socio-demographic things that are underlying that. You know, during the pandemic, we had about 40% of the baby boomers that retired, never to return. And we have a declining fertility and birth rate in North America. And you combine those two things together, and that's what's led to the tight labor market that we have, which seems to defy even the most brilliant economists every month when the labor numbers come out. So it is difficult for companies to find and retain really good people. And it's going to continue to be difficult for them to find people because of a tightening labor pool, which is a long-term trend for us. So what we do and what we help companies do is understand who their target, who their ideal candidate is, who they're really looking for. And then what we do as a recruiting firm is we go out and we create a targeted selection plan to go find those individuals. So we're actually doing recruiting calls and finding people that maybe even aren't looking for a job, but would be open to a better opportunity if one was presented to them. So instead of customers getting candidates that just come from the job boards or candidates that are maybe semi-interested, we're creating interest with really good people. And that's what the difference is being able to essentially market really good companies to really good people. And so what we advise them to do is to have us help them understand their business a little bit more, the culture of their company. And then really we go out and create a targeted selection plan to find the kind of people that have the skills, the talents, the aptitude to be successful in their business.
Interesting. Well, I was recently reading and listening to some data that was published about this whole transition from credential-based employment or hiring to skills-based. And so it was kind of the first time I had heard that phrased in such a way, from where this transition from credentials-based to skills-based. And I'm just curious in your opinion on that, if you're seeing that or run into that.
Well, I have definitely seen that. I mean, I think the truth lies somewhere in between. There was a great book I read years ago called Hire for Attitude, Train for Skills. Now, you can't always do that in some positions because some positions and most of the positions that we get within the hospitality and the, you know, accommodation industry, they do require certain skills or experience. But what companies are going to have to be open to doing today is maybe accepting people that are able to be career pathed into the position that they're looking for. They maybe have part of the skills that they need, but not quite all of the skills, and that they can grow into those skills. Because what you really want is you want people that you're going to be able to hire and you're going to be able to retain and are going to be able to grow with the brand. So it is important to look for skills, but you also need to look for attitude. You need to look for some of those intangible things which really come alive in a person's resume if they're demonstrating what their accomplishments have been in the past. And their accomplishments might have been things even outside of the industry that they came from, but give you a little bit of a window into the type of individual that they are and how they're going to perform for your company. So I really think, Tom, that it is a combination of both. It's a combination of hiring for skills, but really looking for attitude. And in this world that we live in today, which is a very tight labor market, companies are going to have to be a little bit more flexible with what they're looking for to be able to really find those people that they're going to be able to retain and those people that can grow with the brand on a long-term basis.
When you use that word flexible, it makes me think about a flexible work environment. And certainly in this post-COVID world, or with so many more people having this hybrid type employment, people working from home, integrating their life, their personal and professional lives, I think it just accelerated. So how have you seen that change? What do you see employers doing, or what are you suggesting to your clients in that regard?
Well, it's a great question. And there are, of course, some positions where you simply cannot do that, like the healthcare industry and, you know, and to some degree in the hospitality, front-facing customer service hospitality positions. People do have to go into an office location because they have to be able to serve the public or their customers in that area. But when you get beyond that point, what you see is a lot of individuals who got used to in the pandemic working from home, and they kind of like that. So if you're going to be able to get and retain really great people, maybe in positions that would traditionally be at a headquarters, you're going to have to be open to some sort of hybrid role. Recently, we were in the process of looking for some senior level accounting talent for our own company. And as part of that, I did some mystery shopping and tried to find out what other companies were doing. And what I was hearing is that most people are open to some, most companies are looking to be a little bit more flexible by finding sort of a hybrid where maybe the employee comes into the office a couple of days a week, but has the opportunity to work from home a couple of other days a week. And so I'm seeing that trend taking place more with employees, again, that would be management level and working at a headquarters location. Again, given that there are some positions that just don't lend itself to that. Now, of course, franchising, as you know, which we're both in, right, in some cases can provide that opportunity and you can have the best of both worlds. In our case, we are a home-based business. People work out of their home, and they have that flexibility that they're looking for. And we see more and more people looking for that. Even younger people, we're seeing more younger people come to us right out of college that want that flexibility, that don't necessarily want to punch a clock and work that 9 to 5. They want to have the opportunity to earn a nice income, but they want to have that freedom and flexibility that goes along with that. So there are franchise opportunities, of course, as you know, like our model, that provide people those opportunities.
Certainly. Well, and it sounds like if younger folks are coming in and want this more autonomous setup or work from home or hybrid type of thing, as an organization, as a leader, having a plan in place and training and development solutions, because I'm old enough to remember when I was working in my office and came up, I worked in an office every day, and you learn a lot of things just from being in that setting and around. Well, the water cooler talk isn't quite the same that it was before. So it sounds like what you're saying is having that plan on how you're going to train and develop people in this hybrid or remote setting is going to be important.
I think it's going to be important in the future. And the other thing that, you know, sometimes we don't always think about, there is generational diversity in the workforce. And as those generations, and we've all heard about the differences between the baby boomers and the millennials and the Gen X's and the, you know, there's different levels of thinking. And, you know, for you to be able to find and retain these top talent, you know, companies have to be a little bit more flexible along those lines, because the way I look at things as a baby boomer, albeit I'm a younger baby boomer, versus the way a millennial looks at it is a very different situation. And so companies are learning that they're going to have to be flexible, more flexible than they've been in the past, to be able to find and retain top talent. Now, right after the pandemic, it was kind of like going to the grocery store in an empty stomach where you're grabbing everything. And sort of, you know, companies were desperate for finding people and they were hiring people and they were, the wage and the salary chart kind of went out the window. That's coming back into more balance now, that the labor market is still a remarkably resilient and a tight labor market. Maybe people can't command quite the levels of salary that they did in the past or immediately post-pandemic or some of the things that they were looking for. But still, on a long-term basis, in this tight labor market, companies need to meet the types of individuals where they're at and learn to provide a more flexible work environment that works for everybody if you want the best talent. Because here's the bottom line. People who are top talent, they have choices. Even in today's market, they have choices. And this is it's a difficult lesson for sometimes for companies to learn, because they think that every person wants to work for their company. And many people do want to work for, you know, major brands that they recognize, but they don't realize that people have choices today. So you essentially are marketing your company why somebody would want to work for your brand. So you need to keep those things in mind if you're going to be able to acquire and retain the best talent.
Very, very interesting. And speaking of retention, one of the things that I find really interesting that we spoke briefly about before we started our session here today is how from when you joined the firm with Patrice and Associates, growing from 25 to 180 franchises and continuing to grow, one of the things you mentioned was your culture. That's a word that really, to me, is a bit of a buzzword today. It's everywhere and talking about it. And I think it's such an important word, and it's easy to get watered down and not really know what that looks like today. So I'd love for you to talk about, from a franchise standpoint, how that's helped your organization grow, and then how you see that impacting your own clients and even your franchisees.
Yeah, it's a really important question. And as the CEO of the company, it's the most important thing to me. It's the thing that I start off talking to all franchise candidates about. And also when I'm speaking to our clients or our potential clients, I talk about it, which is a little bit maybe unusual for a recruiting firm. But once I do, they get it. And our core values are respect, excellence, service, and teamwork. Respect, excellence, service, and teamwork. And they're not just words on a poster. There's not just a poster on a wall. It comes down to how we live those values every single day in everything we do. Let's just take the consumer side, you know, how we work with the people that come to us looking for career advice, how we work with the companies that are looking for us to help them find and retain the best talent, you know, respect, treating people with dignity and respect the way we would want to be treated, excellence, striving for excellence in everything we do, service, looking to provide world-class service to all the stakeholders of our business, and teamwork, which really is how we collaborate to deliver the best possible service or experience for the people that are using our brand. When I talk to potential companies about that, they're not used to hearing that from a recruiting firm. They're used to the recruiting firm coming in and selling them as to why they would want to do business with them. And yeah, eventually you have to get to that. But for companies that have had a bad experience with a recruiting firm that have basically just been papering them with resumes, when I start talking about things like quality and making sure that we're a good fit for each other, you can see the countenance on their face changing. And they really understand that we get it and we are really dedicated to quality. And it's not just a, like I said, a poster on the wall. But more importantly, when it comes to awarding a franchise, we need to ensure that we're awarding franchises to people who share those same values. So when I talk to franchise candidates about it, I say, you know, again, they're expecting me to sell them on our brand, which we have a lot of great people in our system that are going to talk to them about all the wonderful things that we have to be part of the Patrice and Associates organization. And certainly there are many of them. But I talk to them about our values and about it's important to me that we bring people on board that live those values every day. And from somebody that's been in a corporate environment that maybe hasn't had a great culture experience, when I start talking about those core values, again, you can see, wow, this is a different organization. You know, they're not trying to sell me. They're trying to help me understand, see if we're a good fit for each other. But it's not just in the awards process. It's also how we treat each other every day. And I give those values to the franchisees. I talk about them every day. Every meeting that we have as a franchise system is the first thing I talk about. That's the only way you keep those values alive. Now they're basically, it's not me who makes our organization great. It's the franchisees that make the organization great. It's the people that deliver the services every day. And they do that with a conviction of the core values behind them.
Incredible. Well, and as you're describing that, I'm thinking about franchisees coming into your system. And one of the main, I should say many important pieces, but for franchise recruitment in particular, franchise validation is essential. When that prospective franchisee calls to speak with another existing franchisee to say, tell me, is this Brian guy, you know, is he the real deal? Is he full of it? What is this all about? And from what you're describing here, because of how you've integrated your values through and through and recruiting the right people that adhere to it, it sounds like franchisees are validating those values are alive and well when a prospect reaches out to them. So I'd love for you just maybe talk about the recruitment and validation side there.
I mean, obviously, every franchisor wants to have good validation, right? Because that's what allows you to continue to grow that brand. You know, good validation comes over a long period of time from people that are making money and are happy doing what they're doing, but also feel that they are valued and respected. And of course, we have very, you know, a lot of successful top producers within our system that can validate, you know, those types of things. But the thing that I'm the most proud of in our organization is the collaboration that we see occurring, which is a little bit unusual in franchising. Part of it is because of the way we're set up, that we have this unique shared database that franchisees collaborating with each other to deliver services to clients. It doesn't mean that we always agree on everything. It means that we treat each other with dignity and respect. It means that all of my franchisees have my cell phone number and they know they can call me and they can have a conversation with me. Maybe not that exact minute, but I will speak to them about anything at any time, even if it's something that they don't necessarily agree with. So they respect that because they know Brian is going to talk to me. He'll listen to what I have to say. But it is the validation of the franchisee saying, you know what? I joined this organization. I had three other franchisees reach out to me and say, hey, if you need anything while the business is ramping up, if you have questions over and above the mentor that we assign to them, please give me a call because I want to see you be successful. Because it's like that John F. Kennedy quote, a rising tide raises all ships, that if one person does better, that elevates the brand experience. So the validation, of course, comes into play money, making money, but it's also being successful. It's also being part of a culture and organization that respects you, gives you an opportunity to provide your input. Even if you don't always agree, you learn to listen to each other and then find a path forward. And the franchisees who wind up supporting each other. You know, Patrice and I didn't set out to say, we want all this collaboration within our network. It kind of grew organically, I believe, out of the core values of the brand, to where we now have franchisees that are partnering, servicing clients, and delivering those services. Multiple franchisees coming together to deliver clients. And that's unique in the franchise model. It's something that's very common in our system. But I think that comes as a result of the core values. So I think the core values have a huge, tremendous effect on validation.
Wonderful. Well, Brian, this is a great time in the show where we make a transition and we ask every guest the same four questions before they go. And the first question we ask is, have you had a miss or two on your journey and something you learned from it?
I think we've always had misses. Anybody that's honest with themselves, you know, have had misses in their career or their journey. For me, of course, I have experienced those as well. I think most of the time that comes from not listening to people. And over the years, I learned that whether it's a franchisee or whether it's a client, that you need to ask more questions and listen than you need to do talk. We've all heard that, you know, saying that God gave us, you know, two ears and one mouth for a reason, right? And I think that is definitely true. It's been true in my career. And, you know, when you're maybe younger in your career, or maybe you're a little bit more full of yourself, you want to show what your brilliance is. And what I've learned is the people that are truly wise, the people that are truly brilliant, are the ones that say very little. They ask questions and they listen. And so misses for me in my career coming up, even in franchising, have come as a result of me wanting to impose my idea instead of listening to what others have told us. And that will usually give you the path that you need to go on.
Excellent. Well, let's talk about the other side of that. Let's talk about a make or two, or a win, a highlight you can share.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking of something within the Patrice and Associates organization. For many years, we were known as the largest hospitality recruiting firm in North America, and we do management recruiting is essentially what we do. One of the things that I was seeing a few years ago is that we had customers that were going to other recruiting firms to fill their executive roles within the organization. Their VPs, their senior VPs, the C-suite executives. We're just as good a recruiter as anybody else. But they were maybe using another recruiting firm, us, to fill their hospitality roles, and maybe somebody else to fill their controller, their VP of accounting. So the customers are the ones that led us in that direction. Again, that comes from listening and said, you know, I realized that we were losing market share. So we launched our executive search program about 3.5-4 years ago. Today, it is one of the fastest growing areas in our company. We not only place a manager at a restaurant or a hotel, we can place the controller of the organization. We can place the senior vice president of global marketing, because the senior vice president of global marketing, they want somebody that's done that within a hospitality organization before. So that has opened, by listening to our customers, that has opened up all kinds of doors where it actually created a new revenue line for our company. And it's one of the things that the new franchisees who are joining us, they're the most excited about. We are now expanding beyond hospitality and doing executive search in other areas, accounting and finance, insurance, construction, engineering, oil and gas, retail, all different kinds of areas that grew out of listening to what our customers' demands were.
I love how you've listened to that, because I know my first introduction to Patrice and Associates many years ago was focused specifically on hospitality. And so to see how you've grown, listened to franchisees, to your customers, to incorporate this in, and now as your network has grown, you have the capacity to service really just about anywhere across the country for any of these needs that they might have. That's an impressive growth and really providing great value add to your clients, add additional ways you can serve them.
Yeah, we just recently updated our website this summer, and you will see on our website, patriceandassociates.com, you will see, of course, a focus on the hospitality industry, but you'll see a lot of other skill categories, a lot of other industries. And really, our franchisees are the ones that have grown that in all these other industry specialties and niches, and are continuing to grow that. And we see that as a big part of our future going forward.
Well, let's talk about a multiplier, Brian. Maybe you've used to grow yourself personally or professionally, or maybe something you've used to grow Patrice or other organizations you've been involved with.
Well, to me, when I think of multiplier, and I've had, you know, been involved in training sessions and coaching sessions on applying a multiplier to your business, you really have to think strategically, almost do a mind map of what the goal is and how you can, what are the strategies that you're looking to accomplish that. For me, when I think of a multiplier effect, I think of basically having a multiple number of people who believe in what your mission is and accomplishing that mission far more than I can do it just on my own. So one of the things that I've learned in franchising is to, you know, if you're going to make a strategic move, that you want to identify some people that have the potential and the ability to help you grow that. And then you talk to them about what your vision is and whether or not they're on board with that. And you create multiple individuals that are going out there basically recreating that mission or that success that you're looking for. And what you have is then a multiplier effect, because more than I can do individually as one person, if I get other people excited about doing this and they start spreading that word and that message, then it almost has like a snowball type of an effect. That's what happened with our executive search program. It was a tiny little vision idea I had in my mind after hearing all and seeing all these customers going to these other recruiting firms. And I'm saying, wait a minute, we are just as good a recruiting firm as any of the rest of those. And I shared that vision with a few franchisees who really got on board with it. And then they're the ones that went out and made it happen because they got excited by that spark. And that's how that multiplier effect occurred, was by sharing that vision with other people who got on board with it and then went out and, you know, created all those things out there in the marketplace. And then it kind of lives and breathes and creates a life of its own. So to me, that's when I think of a multiplier effect, that's what I think of, is deploying, you know, individuals that can then deploy it, you know, within themselves, their community, and get other franchisees excited about it.
Well, Brian, the final question we ask every guest is, what does success mean to you?
You know, I think there's an old Zig Ziglar quote that, trying to remember exactly what it is, that if you help enough other people get the success that they desire, you'll get the success that you desire as well. I think what we do every single day in our business is we help individuals and we change their lives. What I do when I go to bed at night, I can put my head on the pillow and rest easy, is I know we're changing people's lives. You know, there's very few things that mean something to people as much as their career or what they do on a daily basis. It can either make or break your environment, right? If you've been in a bad job before, you have a stressful situation, you know, it can have negative effects on your psyche. It can have ripple effects on your family. But when you put somebody in a great opportunity with a great career path that maybe even have ripple effects in their community, wonderful things happen. So success means to me is helping other people achieve the success that they desire. Because I do really believe in that Zig Ziglar quote, that if you help enough other people achieve the success that they desire, you're going to achieve the success that you desire as well. And that's what we do at Patrice & Associates every single day. That's what our franchisees do. We have an amazing home-based franchise model. We help franchisees get off on the right foot by giving them customers from the start. But at the end of the day, the people that join us, of course, they want to make money. Of course, they want to have a return on investment. They do it because there's something in them that strikes a chord about helping other people achieve the success that they desire.
Very, very well said. And Brian, as we bring this to a close, is there anything you are hoping to share or get across that you haven't had a chance to?
I don't think so. I think the only thing I would say is please go to our website, patriceandassociates.com, and go to our LinkedIn page, because you're going to see amazing testimonials from people that we have placed in jobs where they write paragraphs and paragraphs about how they've never had an experience like this with a recruiting firm before. If you want to know what it's like to be part of our organization, or if you want to know what it's like to be a customer of our organization, go to our LinkedIn page and read those testimonials, and you'll see from the people who use the services every day. So I just want to say thank you, Tom, for the opportunity to be on this amazing Multiply Your Success podcast. And I hope that the listeners get a lot out of our time together.
Brian, thank you so much for a fantastic interview. And let's go ahead and jump into today's three key takeaways. So takeaway number one is when Brian described and talked about how the labor market has changed. And he said 3% of baby boomers retired during COVID, and the U.S. birth rate is shrinking. So we have this aging population that's retiring and not enough young workers coming to replace them. So this is a trend, as he described it. I was thinking this is a trend we've seen happening in Europe the last 20 or 30 years, and it looks like it's making its way here in the U.S. Takeaway number two is he described recruiting employees, and he said you want to find a targeted profile of the ideal person and start marketing to find that person that meets that target profile. He said pair for attitude. Once those candidates come in, pair for attitude, train for skills. And he said ask questions to yourself and the hiring team. Can the person that's getting hired for this position, can they be developed into the position? Can they grow with your business? And so he really thought that hiring for attitude was critical and assessing whether or not that person can grow into the role or grow with the business. Takeaway number three is that top talent has choices. I found that just absolutely fantastic and a great reminder. And he said, not every employee wants to work for you. And you have to keep promoting why people want to work with you. And he said for him at his company as the CEO, he's constantly promoting their culture, and that's the most important thing for them. And in fact, he said he opens every meeting with a review of their company core values. And now it's time for today's win-win. So today's win-win is when Brian talked about what success means to him. Success to him is helping other people achieve the success that they desire. And one way that he does this, I thought this was a great comment that he had said throughout the interview, was that the wise people are the ones that ask questions and listen more. So by asking questions, listening more, you're going to be able to help other people do more by doing that. So I thought that was a great takeaway and a great interview. And so that's the episode today, folks. Please make sure you subscribe to the podcast and give us a review. And remember, if you or anyone you know might be ready to franchise their business or take their franchise company to the next level, please connect with us at BigSkyFranchiseTeam.com. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to having you back next week.